How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized.
I am so excited. This is our third interview that we have of an Organize 365 employee pulling back the curtain, letting you see what's going on inside of her home during this global pandemic. And Amy is our most seasoned Organize 365 employee and also our youngest Organize 365 employee. Did you know that, Amy?
I did not, but I think seasoned might just be a nice way of saying old, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you're the youngest in age of the entire team.
Well, that's crazy. I did not know that. I feel like I've been around forever, so I wasn't sure.
Well, you have been around forever, and we tried to figure out how long ago it has been. I think it's all been all the way back to 2012. Do you remember when I first hired you and what we were doing?
I don't remember what we were doing, but I know you were, primarily blog posting at that time and trying to, like, you know, you were finding your footing, like where you were heading with this Organize 365 thing. It was very young and it was very, you know, I could tell there was a lot of energy there. So it was interesting for sure. But I don't remember what your first project was.
I think it was the Sunday Basket ebook. You were living overseas.
Yes, we were in Germany.
So what year would that have been?
Anywhere from 2010 to 14.
Yeah, so I think it was 2012 or 2013. It was either the Sunday Basket ebook, or I might have started with 10 Steps to Organize Paper, and then we did the Sunday Basket ebook after that. These ebooks don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I think it was the 10 Steps. I remember that one.
Yeah, and I put it in a bunch of bundles in the end of 2012 and 2013, and that kind of, and I was doing a ton of guest posting at that time, because that's how you grew a blog back in 2012, 2013. You worked with other bloggers. I think that's how I got your name.
Yes, I did. I worked with a bunch of random things. We were in Germany, so it was hard to work there on the economy, as my German is not so great. So I was, you know, doing whatever I could to still have a job and support our family, but stay at home with our little boys too. So I just take up random design jobs, and finding Organize 365 has been a huge blessing for me.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, you went from like a couple of one-off ebooks to basically anything you see, any image you see anywhere about Organize 365 has the imprint of Amy. So when you guys say, I love the planner, I love the printables, I love the images, that is all Amy. So I'm so glad to have you on the podcast and finally be able to expose your graphic goddess ability to everyone.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you've taken huge ownership of the Organize 365 brand, and I have lovingly and gladly given it over to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like my baby, because if I see somebody using the wrong font or something somewhere, I'm like, no, 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 you can't do that. It bothers me. And I'm like, no, that's not our image. Our image is this. And so I really enjoy taking ownership of it and growing along with you guys.
And it's been about 7 years. So the first couple of years, you would just do one-off projects, and I kept trying to do my own things. And then there was probably a couple of years in there where half was coming from other people and half was coming from you. But I would say in the last 2 to 3 years, you really have taken ownership. And when I first realized this was back in 2017, I hired 7 people in 7 weeks, and you had already been on staff for, you know, as a contractor for years. And I said something like, well, I need to know what our brand guidelines are or our brand aesthetic. And you're like, oh, I have that. And you emailed me a 21-page PDF, full color, this is the Organize 365 brand. She's like, you're like, yeah, I didn't charge you. I just made this on the side. And it was like everything. And you said, the brand is this, and the font is this, and the image is this. Can you explain, like, how you created what a brand identity guide is, because I can't explain it.
Well, I just knew you needed it. And it was like, well, I could see you going far with this brand and how you're helping women. And I knew it was going to be instrumental. I had no idea, you know, this pandemic was going to happen and how even more important it is to have your ducks in a row. But I just knew we were going somewhere. And so I thought, you know, big companies have a brand identity. It's a reason why they don't change their logos or their colors. It's identifiable. And they're always like, there's always a psychology behind it too. So colors evoke certain emotions and certain feelings. And there's a million reasons why you do everything. So it's not just like, oh, hey, that looks pretty on paper. There's usually a rationale behind it. There's a reason why it looks pretty. So the whole thing was to create a brand for you that was identifiable. And just to kind of pull everything together so it seemed more coherent.
Yeah, I think, like, I've always been like, Organize 365 is going to be huge. And then every time we achieve the next milestone, I'm like, oh my goodness, can you believe we did this? And I don't really have a framework for, like, what does big mean? What does it mean we're going someplace? So when I was hiring 7 people in 7 weeks, because I knew we were launching physical products the next year, that I needed to have a team behind me, you already, when you produced that for me, I was like, oh, Amy thinks we're going to be like, and we already are, like a real company. It's so different to have someone else reflect back to you or say that the company is going to be something when you've been just trying to tell your spouse and yourself this for years and you're still working in your bedroom and you're like, no, this is really going to work. This is really going to work.
No, I've seen the value because I've implemented a lot of your strategies. Like, it's crazy how much I have picked up just from doing the graphic design. I'll be like, oh, well, that's an interesting way of looking at things. I'll try that. And then it turns out working brilliantly. And I'm like, this is what America needs. This is what households need. She gets it. Like, I've read that whole Marie Kondo book about the magic of tidying up. And it just, you know, it didn't work for me. I'm not in some tiny little flat over in Asia. You know, my lifestyle isn't like that. We have a huge home with probably way too much stuff. But the way that you do your functional organizing, just it resonates with me.
So who is quarantined with you, Amy? Who lives in this gigantic house with you?
Okay, well, it's not gigantic. I don't make that much money. But I mean, you know, it's 2,000 square feet. That's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. So my husband, he's active duty Air Force, so he's hit or miss. Sometimes he does go to work, but sometimes he works from home, and that's in quotations because I don't know how much work gets done. And then I've got 3 boys, ages 12, almost 11, and 5.
So you got stuck in the pandemic becoming a teacher.
I am. You know what? And everybody... I kind of feel bad because everybody's like, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. Oh my gosh, my students are the worst. I'm like, you know what? I like 2 out of 3 of mine. That's pretty good, right?
Well, and you're just that kind of mom. Like, ever since I've met you and I've gotten to meet your family and know you in person now, like, I would say you're a homebody. I mean, you like yes. working behind the scenes. If anybody's been at Embrace, Amy's the one hiding behind a camera. she's not the one on stage with me, for sure. You like the behind the scenes. You love nurturing. I mean, your boys are everything to you. And so having them home, I could see you loving that.
I am loving it. And it's, I mean, like you said, it's not very shocking because I am such a homebody. I'm so introverted, but I love my family. Like, I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And so getting to see their different learning styles, not that I didn't already know, because I did help with homework and stuff, but really teaching them new concepts and staying home with them and finding out, oh, hey, they're really into this. They've got to focus on that. Or they really learn best this way. It's been really surprising. And I think one of the best things to come out of this is I'm considering homeschooling my middle son because he really, like, his anxiety is like non-existent. It cleared up. Like, he has mm-hmm. no worries anymore about school. Like, he just does his work and he's happy. And he's been my little shadow. He just follows me around. So I think we're in a really good place.
So 1 might continue homeschooling. 2 would go back possibly.
Yeah. My eldest, I think he strives like really thrives on that structure, mm-hmm. and he's gifted. So I don't know that I can teach him anything. His math teacher told him this year she didn't think she could teach him anything, and it's turned out true. He knew it all already. So wow. Don't tell him I said that though. So he's really brilliant, and he has friends at school, and he does better with like the chaos and, you know, the moving and everything going on. But my middle one really thrives on, this is what's happening right now. This plan will not deviate. This is how we're going to learn. So he's really thrived on the one-on-one. And seeing what he's been able to produce at home versus what he was producing at school is just, you know, there's such a stark contrast. And my youngest, who's in kindergarten this year, he has to go to school for my sanity. Like, he just has to.
Like, she's human.
Well, he's also an extrovert, so he cannot stand this. He's the only one of our family that's an extrovert, so he's not doing so well with his quarantine. He's dying to play with friends, and he's a mover. Like, I don't think he ever sits still. So he needs to be going and doing and switching classes and going to PE and running laps and stuff, things that I don't do. So,
yeah, I will say the number one reason we chose to homeschool Abby her junior year in high school was not academic. It was anxiety. Like, there was just too much anxiety at school. And I think that's true for a lot of kids. Like, I know a lot of parents are like, oh, shoot, now they're home. How are we ever going to get them back if anxiety was an issue? And so I think a lot of us are realizing how, you know, I have been saying this for years, the amount of anxiety in our children is unbelievable. Now, obviously, this is an anxious time.
Right.
But for kids with anxiety, they are really loving it. Like, yay, oh, yeah. I don't have to leave.
Yeah, he's completely thriving. I talked to his school about it because I kind of threw out the idea of homeschooling him next year. Like, he'll go to a different school anyway. So he'll be going to a different middle school. And he's a huge introvert. He has maybe two friends, and only one of them's going to the school he's going to. So he's really not going to miss out on the social aspect. Mm-hmm. So I was just throwing the idea out there, and they're like, really? Everyone else is hating this. You're the only person I've talked to that loved this. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, and I love hearing you say that because, I mean, my kids have gone to different schools and I'm driving them all over the place. I'm unusual to enroll your children in different schools and pick the school for your child. I think Amy and I are just giving permission to everyone to think about what fall school looks like for your child and if it looks differently for different kids in your family.
Oh, absolutely. I say follow your gut instinct. Like, if you really think that this is what's going to work for your child, do it. Even if it's against the grain, even if it's against what everyone else is doing, you got to do what's best for your kid. And right now, that's looking like homeschool.
But Amy, you're also a working mom, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I know you work for me. How many hours a week do you work?
For you or for everyone?
Yeah, both.
I work around 30.
30 total? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're a full-time working mom from home.
Yes.
Yes. So you're full-time working mom from home, and now you are full-time schooling three children. How'd that work?
You know, it's actually not been that terrible. Somehow it's really worked out really well, and the benefits are amazing. Like, getting to be with my boys has really been a blessing. And I've gotten to teach them some life skills. Like, one of them cooks at least once a day with me now. So that was something they weren't doing before. And I, you know, that's just as important as some of these academic things they're learning, is these life skills that they now have access to because I have time. Because cooking with them takes twice as long as, you know, if I just did it myself. So I'm really actually enjoying it. I just wake up early, get my work done. And then by the time they wake up, I let them have a little bit of a break as soon as they wake up, and then we get started on our work and we're done.
So when are you doing your work? How early are you getting up to get your work done?
It depends on how much I have on my schedule. Sometimes it's 5 a.m. and sometimes it's 7 a.m. But I'm naturally an early riser anyway, just force of habit. So It's worked out really well.
Yeah, I wake up in the morning to all these emails of all these images. Now other people on the team get those emails, but Amy works early is all I have to say. You always have. I mean, you've always worked early.
Yes, I have to in order to get it all done, because in addition to being, you know, a full-time mom, a full-time wife, I've got this full-time job, three boys, one of which, you know, has some medical issues. So that's always interesting as well. But I'm also the PTA president at our school. So I have all these things that have to get done. So if I don't get up early, they're not getting done.
And do you work your graphic design work just Monday through Friday, regular business hours, or do you fit it in 7 days a week? How do you do it?
When I was first starting out, I would do 7 days a week, but now I only do Monday through Friday because I have enough business contacts and enough work coming in that Monday through Friday cuts it. And I just tell everybody else, I do not work weekends anymore. That's my family time. I did not touch the computer at all Saturday or Sunday this weekend, and it was beautiful.
That is amazing. So, all right. Everything's sounding perfect over there, Amy. People are going to be like, yeah, we don't like Amy. We don't like this podcast.
I can totally introduce you to my youngest, and then you'll know things aren't perfect. He will throw his little temper tantrum and get mad and give me his little faces, and you'll be like, oh, yeah. So there's the issue.
But how do you, like, without the kids in school, like, obviously you're social distancing, you're staying home with your son's medical needs, you don't want to take any additional risks in going out. How was that transition, you know, the first couple weeks from, okay, now they're at home, oh, now we're doing this, like all those changes coming at you over and over and over again. How did you make that transition of these three kids are now with you 24/7? I mean, you just love your kids.
I do love my kids. This may sound shocking to you, but I'm actually quite organized.
It's not shocking to me.
I fit in quite well with your company here. But when they announced that school was closed, they announced it on like a Sunday, and they were set to return Monday. So they gave us no notice whatsoever. And these teachers are like, oh no. But by Wednesday, they had packets of information for like 2 weeks to go through, because that's all they thought it was going to be, was 2 weeks. But before that even happened, I was like, all right, well, my kids aren't sitting around. So I got them a list of everything they were going to learn during that time, had it all ready, and had them going. So I just sat down, made a schedule with them, and that's what we were doing. And I gave them one thing that helps with pushback, I think, is giving them a choice in the matter. So I talked to them. I said, okay, what are you interested in learning? And they'd tell me, you know, one was typing. He wanted to learn how to type properly. And the other wanted to learn Roman numerals. He thought it was annoying that he didn't know Roman numerals. And I'm like, all right, that's easy enough. So we added lesson plans to fit what they were interested in, as well as their regular academic stuff. And that just really helped out, I think, giving them a voice, a control in a day and age right now where they probably don't feel like they have a lot of control.
Yeah. And I should say, we're recording this on May 11th. So I think you're going to be listening to this in the first week in June. So that's when we're recording it. And Amy, you're in South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're in a different state than I am. And the other thing I will say that I think made it easier for you and also easier for me as well is you and I have worked from home for ever.
Right.
So we weren't also changing where we worked or the hours we worked. That piece stayed the same. We just assimilated our kids into our home versus also we were coming home to work at the same time.
Right. Absolutely. Like nothing changed on my work end other than it was just louder and harder to get a quieter household so I could think sometimes.
So that's my next question. How do you get thinking time? How do you get alone time? Because that is what I crave.
I downloaded an app that actually measures sound levels, and I would walk around and I would show the kids. I'm like, this is how loud you are. This is
okay. We all need, wait a minute. What's this app?
I don't remember the name of it, but if you Google free decibel sound measuring app or something like that, that's what I downloaded. And I would walk around and show them. I'm like, you are as loud as a cafe right now. Can you like take it down a notch? And showing them those levels helped. So they're a little better because I'm sensitive to sounds. And so I loved having a quiet house when they were all at school. So I really missed that part. But I don't know. It's been a change for sure, but I don't sweat it because there's nothing I can do about it. I can't make them take my kids back to school. I can't make this pandemic go away. So why stress over something? Just, you know, pivot.
Yes, that's what we say in Organize 365. Pivot. We need to pivot more. What about when the kids are bored? Are your kids getting bored?
I'm a really mean mom, and I tell them only boring people get bored. So that usually shuts that down because I'm like, oh, I have a list for you. You're bored? go clean the kitchen. But that's not what I want to do. It would alleviate your boredom. It would give you something to do. And so they don't bother me anymore about that.
So what do they do? Like, what do these school age kids do to not be bored? Like, what, how have they entertained themselves?
To be honest, I don't usually see Harrison once he's released from schoolwork. He's outside all day. That little boy is tan. He's my mini me. He looks like me, except for he's like 5 shades darker.
What does he do outside?
Oh, I don't know. He's a little boy. So I've got the Nest app. So I watch him on the cameras to make sure he's being safe. But it's usually just, you know, we bought an inflatable pool. And so he's out there swimming, or he's playing on his little playground, or riding his bike. He just got a big boy bike. So he's doing those sorts of things.
And the other two?
Lincoln's always drawing. Drawing and riding his bike. Those are his things. He's always doing that. And he watches a lot of educational videos. Like, he can tell you a lot about World War II and the history and who was, you know, in the Warsaw Pact. No, I don't know what the Warsaw Pact is, but he can tell you.
and then your youngest?
Oh, no, my eldest is the one remaining.
Oh.
He mainly, and this is going to sound terrible, but he loves video games and he hops on video games, but that's where he connects with his friends. Mm-hmm. So they all join together and they're all playing video games. And it's kind of sweet because then he still has those connections with them, even if he can't see them. So that's mainly how they pass their time.
And so I love how you're talking about each of your kids have different propensities for school and enjoying their schoolwork and how they like to learn. But they all have different propensities for how they like to spend their free time too. And you're just letting them.
Yeah, I've learned long ago that it doesn't really matter how you raise your kids. You can treat them all the same. They're still going to end up being exactly who they were meant to be. Like, don't get me wrong, nurture does play a role. But their nature is so strong that they're going to be that extrovert or they're going to be that introvert or whatever they're interested in. And there's nothing you can do about it. So the best you can do is sit back, support them, and enjoy it.
And how has your husband been during this quarantine?
Oh, he's been really good. At first, he was really helpful with the schoolwork. But I'm also a type A person, so I like to manage everything. So I think he's given up on, like, helping because I wasn't fully letting go of control. So mm-hmm. I think he's like, yeah, forget this then. If you don't need help, I'll figure something else out. So, yeah.
Has he been around a lot, or is he deployed, or is he local?
No, he's local, but he goes into work about twice a week.
Okay. Well, thank him for his service.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Amy, anything else you want to share with everyone?
I just realized it sounded really positive and upbeat.
Yes, so it did.
I feel bad if you're not in that boat because I know lots of people are struggling. I really do. And I feel for you. And I know there's like some people are quarantined in bad situations or whatever, but that's just not my case. And I'm generally a happy person. I'm always looking for the silver lining. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so if that's not your situation, don't sweat it. Like, not everyone has it as lucky or as good as I do. So just make the best of what you can.
I think too, though, there are a lot of people who are enjoying quarantine and they feel guilty enjoying it.
Yes, I've gotten that too. There was an article I read yesterday about a mom that was like afraid to come out and be like, you know what, I'm really enjoying this and I'm not looking forward to things going back. And I wholeheartedly agree because I've forged connections with my kids and we've played more board games and made up our own silly games and we've written messages on the sidewalk chalk. We've taken more walks than we used to. You know, there's so much more that we're doing and we're not as busy because with 3 boys in 3 different sports, we were always busy. And being a PTA mom, I was always at the school. There was always somewhere I had to be that I was always like, you know, I was constantly checking my calendar to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And now I don't even check it because there's nothing on there. What's the point? You're lucky I made it today to this meeting.
Well, I mean, I'm an extrovert, but I'm home 99% of the time. So other than not being able to go to like networking meetings, which I had just started doing, or possibly, you know, recording my audiobook
proving to be a problem right now. Those kinds of things. That guy was supposed to go to New York for something related to the book. But other than that, like, I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're missing anything either. No, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind taking a stroll down, you know, the aisles of Target or mm-hmm. whatever. But honestly, I'm not missing that much. Like, I still am in contact with my close-knit circle of friends. I've got my family here. And we're all safe and sound, so.
Well, I have to tell you that when I was hiring 7 people in 7 weeks, one of the people I hired was Mary, who you met on the podcast back in March, and she is a nurse in Chicago, and we talked about the mini emergency medical binder. And Amy and Mary are thick as thieves, and I will just say there is more than one occasion that I go to my own website or see social media, and Amy and Mary have created something that I didn't even know existed because they get together. And Mary's got great ideas. And Amy's like, oh yeah, I already had something like that started. Next thing you know, it's already launched. It's on the Organize 365 website. I got a great idea last week and I put it out to Amy and Mary and I was like, here's what I'm thinking. They were like, yeah, well, actually we kind of already have that started. I'm not surprised. So the new things coming out from Organize 365 are not all mine. A lot of them come from Amy and Mary.
We really enjoy the brand, and I think we've both bought in. Like, we both find it really useful in our own lives to where we can anticipate the needs, or we see something, we're like, oh, it would be really great if we did this. And Mary and I are always on the same page. So I love working with her, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, you guys are. You're a good pair. So normally I have everyone come to Ohio in June for Embrace, which obviously Embrace is virtual now. And our team was still going to come together, but we're not because we're in so many different states, you know, global pandemic thing. We can't do that either. So Amy and Mary don't get to be in person with me, but we will. We will soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was really saddened that all of this mess is happening. Like, our Disney trip got canceled this summer too. And we've been telling the boys, you know, for 3 years, in 3 years, we're going to go to Disney World. In 2 years, we're going to go to Disney World. In 1 year, it's this summer. And now I was like, well, no, maybe not. Mm-hmm. With a medically complex child, it's just not safe. But they've been really understanding. So it's interesting the way things change. But, you know, there's something to be said for how resilient kids are. Mm-hmm. Like, they have been really tough. I realize it's a strange situation for them. And I keep hearing people applaud, you know, everyone else but the kids. But here's these kids suddenly learning in a whole different manner. And let's be honest, not every parent is meant to be a teacher. Like, a teacher is a really special person with a really special mm-hmm. set of gifts and virtues. And not all of us have those. I'm not saying I have all of them either, because Lord knows I need some more patience with some of my kids. But these kids have really bounced back and been shown me, you know, just how important it is to be flexible.
Yeah. And I think as I've been looking, like, you know me, I'm a researcher. So I've learned all about the 1918 pandemic and all these different things. And what I found most interesting was I listened to a podcast episode about polio, and polio was around for like 150 years before the vaccine came out. And it was really, a lot of kids got it in the late 40s. So 48, 49, 50. Mm-hmm. And I know that my aunt got polio as a child. That would have been in the 50s, or yeah, I think it would have been in the 50s. And my parents were born in 48 and 49. And so I had heard this talk about polio, and basically in the summers, they shut down the pools. They shut down everything. Your kids stayed home because in the summer is when kids would get polio, and they closed movie theaters. I was like, oh, so they have shut down the economy before for things like this. Like in 1918, that flu that we keep comparing this to, it killed people so fast that it was hard to shut down things fast enough. It just went through communities so fast. But polio was longer, you know, it took longer to incubate just like this, and you had no idea, and it was kids. And so they would, you know, not do pools, and they would not do all these things that we don't have this summer. So there have been times in history where we've had kids home in the summer and there weren't movie theaters and there weren't swimming pools. I don't know if that's going to be the case this summer, but it has been in the past. And so we saw my mother-in-law on Mother's Day, and I asked her about it because she's a little bit older than my parents. So she would have been like, I don't know, 6 or 7 during that time. And she said, oh yes, I remember when the polio vaccine came out, I took my sister and we walked up to school and we stood in the line and we got the vaccine for polio because everybody got the vaccine for polio. And there were two different doctors that came up with two different vaccines for polio. It's so interesting, in this podcast that I listened to, they said that one of them that came up with the vaccine for polio, they said, what name should we put the patent in? And he said, the world. Like, I can't patent a vaccine that is for everybody in the world. And so that vaccine did not get patented, and it was just given out freely at the schools and things like that. I thought, okay, we have been in similar situations of this before. If you look back in history long enough, you will always find situations that are similar to the ones we've been in before. We will come out of this just like we've come out of everything else before. We will be different. We will be changed, but we will not be worse off. We will not be eradicated from the earth. Like, we're going to continue on, and there will be positive things that come from this time that we'll take going forward, and things that will never go back to the way that they used to be, but it'll be changed, but it won't necessarily be negative.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I really hope that the world does change a little bit. You see all these inspirational stories about, you know, like jellyfish swimming the canals in Venice. Like, how cool is that? That nature is like still coming back, and mm-hmm. how quickly like the earth is healing itself just from a bunch of people sitting back and saying, oh, can't go outside. Let's stay home. And it's really amazing to me. And I really hope that some things do change, that we learn a lesson from all of this.
Well, and that gives me hope too. I mean, how many years, decades have we been told that we are killing the planet and that the planet is just going to go away? And here, with just a few weeks of staying in our house, like it's all research. Like, we're not that powerful. Like, we are that powerful, but we're not that powerful. You know, there's so much more at work here than just what we're doing every day. And Amy, it was such a blessing to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I knew we wanted to talk to somebody who has grade school kids at home and is also working full-time from home. I think the thing that I come back to over and over again is 168 hours a week. You have more time than you think. And I know a lot of people are not designed to be their children's teachers, don't want to be their children's teachers, you know, would love for schools and daycares to open up again. Their children would love for schools and daycares to open up again, but it's not our reality yet. So it's okay to embrace this and enjoy this, even if you're going to send them off back to all the places that they're going to go afterwards. It's not bad to enjoy it or not enjoy it now. You can have all the feelings that you have. But we do have enough time. Like, all the important things will get done during this time, and we'll catch up with all the rest of it later.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Amy.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.